It's the Advertising Week Social Club. I am Doug Zanger out in Portland, Oregon. Today is partly cloudy and cold. Well, I don't know why I'm giving you a weather report, but look, I was in radio for a long time, and that's what you do. You back sell a song, you say the station name, and you give the weather. So, we're very, very, very pleased to bring back a good friend of Advertising Week, of the Advertising Week Social Club, and I'm proud to say a very good, close personal friend, Andrew Hamp, now of Billboard. My man, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well. So let's talk a little bit about the shift. You had an amazing run, the good folks over at Advertising Age, and you decided to make the shift over to Billboard. Talk about your experiences so far.
It's great. Well, first and foremost, back in New York, frankly, where I belong. So good to be covering the ad industry from a music focus, you know, where the creative hubs, that sort of stuff occurs. So very happy to be back in New York. And you know, just it was a great opportunity to really own the music and branding space at the leading industry Bible.
Yeah, and we're real good friends and great partners with Bill Wordy for many years at Advertising Week, and I told him when I saw him at Advertising Week, I said, Andrew Hamp, that's a good get, and he just gave me a nice little nod, the Philadelphia nod, and the rest is history. That's cool. So I know that you are planning on heading down to Vegas for CES. It's amazing to see. I mean, clearly the CES is such a huge show, and it goes through varying permutations. But what's been interesting, and your former place of employ, Ad Age, had mentioned this, that CES is fast becoming like the must place to be for brands, for agencies, for industry folk. It wasn't necessarily like that before, but talk about what you think is behind that shift.
Well, no, and I think you're right. It is just so huge that, you know, senior level executives from any sector are figuring out very quickly that they just have to be there to get a sense of, you know, what the trends are going to be, get their hands on some new gadgets before they're publicly available, whatever it is, or just get some meetings that you wouldn't otherwise have anywhere else, at least not at this time of year, you know? Right. Because, yeah, it used to be super endemic to the tech industry. It used to just be for, you know, developers and engineers to basically show off the new toys to each other. But now, since we live in a post-smartphone, post-tablet, post-connected TV, unit post internet enabled refrigerator as of last year universe,
right?
Everyone wants to see what's new next. However, if we're talking about what to expect from this year, I think we'll just see minor tweaks and improvements. What I'm hearing is that there's no one big holy crap, you have to see this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
We every year we're often proven wrong, so you know, stay tuned, I guess.
Well, and as you and I were talking before we had the interview, I'm in the changing of diapers world right now, so my focus has been a little bit more on the home front. But oftentimes I do pay a little bit more attention to what's going on at CES. What are maybe one or two of the most important storylines that people need to be following during CES?
Well, certainly for the music industry and really just for the tech and media industry at large this year, I think the big stories are going to be the refinement and further app enhancement of tablets. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of new and improved, sexy, ultra skinny tablets this year. And I think a lot of announcements will come from new media partners attached to that, maybe a new brand sponsoring it, whatever the case may be. And then on the other side of that, it's going to be a lot of auto announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, that was still very nascent, the concept of you know, cars with media players in their cars. And you saw Pandora, you saw iHeartRadio and several of those announcements. And now that blow up big this year, since music tech is you know, the, you know, big tech and media trend of the past year. So
right.
You're going to see, not only will you see Pandora and Clear Channel, you're going to see Last FM, Spotify is going to have a small presence. Mog is inking a lot of these deals now. Pandora was just telling me that they announced 4 deals last year, and in the last 12 months, they've that has expanded to 14, 10 of which are already on dealer lots. If that tells you how, you know, scalable this trend is already.
Yeah. You mentioned Spotify. Real interesting development with what Daniel Ek and team are doing, especially as it relates to apps. I'd like to talk a little bit more specifically about Billboard's involvement with Spotify apps. Talk a little bit about Billboard's involvement with it, because it's really interesting. There are quite a few very interesting apps that are the earlier apps. Talk a little bit about Billboard's involvement and what excites you guys most about being on the platform.
I think we're most excited because the Spotify user experience is pretty parallel to how readers experience Billboard. You know, like just the ability to customize playlists and, you know, is actually very similar to, you know, our charts, for example.
Right.
So I think, you know, you can imagine the possibilities, what it would mean to have the Hot 100 or the, you know, the top 40 songs of the week on a Spotify app, you know.
Right.
I think that is very core to our brand, and you know, it makes sense for us to be there.
Well, I'm just looking at the top, the Hot 100 right now. LMFAO, Rihanna with Calvin Harris, Katy Perry. Oh, poor Katy Perry.
Big shakeup, yeah.
Oh, poor Katy Perry. let's talk
Russell
a little bit.
Brand is what you meant to say there, by the way.
Oh, what's that?
I think poor Russell Brand is what you meant to say there.
Poor everybody. A non-unified
America.
Katy Perry and Russell Brand is not good for the world. That's just my personal opinion. talk a little bit about what you're looking forward to most for 2012 and just music in general as it relates to the lens that you're looking through.
Well, I think, you know, going back to CES and, you know, what we were just talking about with Spotify, I think that distribution is the new no man's land, which is to say it's up for grabs.
Right.
You know, no, there's no clear lock on it just yet. I think the model is going to prove itself out this year. Like, do people want on-demand? Do people just want music recommendation like a Pandora? Or, you know, like, and at what point are they willing to pay for it? I think we're increasingly getting, I think what Spotify has accelerated is the mindset and the expectation that you don't have to pay for on-demand music to the point where now if you can get it on your phone, if you can get it on your tablet, that's going to create, you know, it's going to be even harder to reintroduce pay models or, you know, encourage people to buy music if they can just stream it or even download it for a very minimal subscription fee.
Right. Anything on the brand end, specifically related to brands, maybe on the agency end that catches your fancy for 2012?
Well, again, I think that brands are going to play a more hands-on role with distribution of music and certainly with discovery of music. Our issue that comes out tomorrow is all about basically the fate of rock and rock music and how do rock acts break out. It's interesting. I was looking at our top 100 songs of the year, and only two of those could even be even broadly considered quote-unquote rock. Mm. One of which, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, and I mean, think of that as a rock song per se.
Right.
So it's pretty telling that that's, you know, just how A, dominated by pop music everything is these days, and B, how hard it is for, you know, that genre to really break through.
Right.
And so you're going to see a lot of reliance on brands, whether it's through commercials or funding concerts. We had an interview with an artist who did a deal with Red Bull because he'd seen two of his previous bands fall through. And, you know, he knew that this was the only way to A, make money, and B, make sure his music got heard, was to team up with the brand.
Right. That's interesting. Very interesting. As always, we like to ask you about some of your fine celebrity interaction, because you always seem to find yourself in unique places. You know, I would not be surprised one day if I reached out to you and you responded back, I was just standing next to the King of Spain, or... or the Queen of England or something like that. Tell us about some of your celebrity exploits of late.
Well, first of all, I'm not Cristiano Amanpour, despite my best efforts.
Good.
If I do talk to the King of Spain, I will let you know.
Please do.
That is his official title.
Right.
Secondly, I wish we were having this call tomorrow because I'm going to the Portlandia premiere tonight. And I
there.
Think that is a show and experience close to your heart as well.
Yes. And for the record, it's kind of accurate.
I'm quite aware.
Yeah, and what's funny is people out here, that's you've got two sides of the Portlandia set where it's, you know, oh, this isn't, you know, what Portland's like. It's like, yeah, you know, actually it kind of is, but it's like, you know, and Fred Armisen mentioned it, and I think Carrie Brownstein said the same thing. It's, you know, this show is a microcosm of what happens in, you know, in places all around the country. I mean, there's quirky places all over the country. You just go into Brooklyn, you could go to Collingswood, mm-hmm. New Jersey, you could go to The Fan in Richmond, Virginia, and you could find all kinds of quirk. And that's just me trying to debunk some of the myths, probably poorly, but it's a absolutely hilarious show. Yeah,
no, I think you're fair in saying it and suggesting that it's a microcosm and not just about Portland. You know, I think that's pretty.
It's an easy backdrop, though.
Yeah, but there are many things that are uniquely Portland. In fact, one of the more underrated sketches from last season was the Ace, or should I say Deuce Hotel?
Yeah, the Deuce Hotel.
I thought that was really, really good.
Yes, yes. That and that, the front of that was actually the Hotel Deluxe, which is in Southwest Portland. So yeah, it's a cool place. And you know, as usual, as I like to say, when you're planning your trip to Oregon, just reach out to me, Doug at Advertising mm-hmm. Week. I'll help you plan your little Oregon getaway. Yeah, go ahead and name drop with Fred and Carrie. They have no idea who I am. Well, that's cool. That's very, very cool. Well, Andrew, I'm going to see you at the end of the month in New York, and I'm so glad we're back in the saddle on our conversations, and we look forward to catching up with you more. And as always, you're such a great friend to us, and we can't thank you enough for taking the time today.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year.